Hey, you guys, thank you for joining us on MGM Marketability's podcast here produced by Growing Media.
Love it.
So I had an idea of something we could talk about since we are currently in this moving state that we are in.
We're leaving.
We're leaving this building and going to a new one, but we are kind of working very closely with another business.
Yes.
So I kind of wanted to talk about building relationships with other business owners, with people, and how that can benefit not only you, but like both of you and even your community too in some points.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, in the business that we're partnering with, it ends up being a perfect match for us. And so, like I think Angie has said it a billion times in the last week, is this a God thing?
It is a God thing.
They do a lot of print. They do a lot of streaming and sponsorships for like sports and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And they don't really want to do a lot of the high-end commercial stuff, the social media management, and like that's what we specialize in.
Right, but their clientele are going to want that.
Right. Yeah. Well, they already do.
Right. So they want that, and they don't. The other company doesn't want to do it, so then they hand it to us, and then we're going to have people coming to us. They're like, "Hey, I need this," and you're like, "Well, we don't quite do that, or we do, but they do it better."
Sure.
So we're going to hand the business off to them. It's a nice way to collaborate, build relationships, and everybody benefits off of it. The client benefits because they get the top quality work from
absolutely
who wants to do it and who's skilled at it. Then you got each of the businesses are giving each other work. So there's being money generated, and even more relationships being built with the new clients now.
Yeah. We talk about it all the time. Trust. They may feel more comfortable going with the individual, the group that we're going to collaborate with. And that's fine. We still want to work for you until you feel like you can trust us, you know. Right. But we're not in the business of cutting people out or whatever. We love to make those kinds of relationships where both benefit for sure. And it takes a lot of understanding to be able to work that way. Totally. And it's interesting because the group that we're working with, they've been in existence for, you know, more than a decade, as, you know, has Growing Media. And it's like, why would you do this now? Well, why not? And, you know, the needs of the consumer and individuals who need our services, they need so much more now.
Yeah.
Like there are several people we work for on a daily basis. You know, and you need, it takes a village. And I think it's wonderful if you collaborate and everybody's making, you know, a nice living for themselves. And yet you're taking care of people who come to you for your services.
Yeah. I mean, it's a big deal. It's like our team just got 5 people bigger.
100. I told him before we left today, I said, you just hired Growing Media.
Like,
we work for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think you really liked that a lot.
And I meant it. I mean, we're at a point in our careers where we can work white label. I'm fine with that. I would actually prefer that in some cases because as a creative, it's so much easier to hear from the client whether they tell us directly or whoever sold it, you know, delivers the message to us. And then we like to get together working and collaborating, and we like to turn out content that leaves everybody speechless.
And there's no reason not to be into that because like, as long as you let the ego go, like you're, cause the only reason to be so concerned about whether your name is on something is just to how it's going to look on you, how it's going to reflect
flex
on you. Right.
Posturing.
So, and you can show off, be like, "Hey, I'm going to put this in my reel or whatever." Sure. And be like, "I made this," or "We made this," however you want to word it.
Mm-hmm.
But what matters most is like that the client gets what they need out of it. That because if they're coming to you because they need more customers or a better product to be able to sell. And a lot of times, like something that people don't consider is that's not just a business to a lot of these people. That's their livelihood. It's their life.
100%.
Because they had an idea and they were like, "Let me try this," and they get into it because it's not like a Walmart or a Target or something like that. That's massive. That's not gonna fail.
Right.
So, which, by the way, they spend a lot of money advertising.
Right.
And reaching you wherever you are.
Yeah, yeah.
They too spend money. Don't think that just because you put that big dot in the air, people are just gonna come. They don't.
No. Yeah.
They advertise a lot.
Yeah. You have to.
You know.
Right.
So yeah, I think that's a remarkable thing. I just find entrepreneurship so incredible because if you're a true entrepreneur, you want to see everybody around you succeed and you really have a growth mindset and you really have a desire to win, which means you want everybody around you to win.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's a real entrepreneur, yeah, I think. In
and one of the best ways to do that is to surround yourself with people who are like-minded, but also mm-hmm. people who are ahead of you.
Oh, absolutely.
That way you can, I don't know who said it, but it's like, if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room.
That's right.
So obviously somebody in that room is going to be the smartest, so they are in the wrong room, so they need to leave. But...
Well, unless you have that internal struggle where we're always thinking like, I'm going to win on this topic. I'm going to win on that. You're going to kill me on that topic though. You're going to, you know.
Right.
So, I mean, how do you really define that? How do you define the smartest? What category?
Smarts. Nailed it.
Nailed it. Listen. No, I know you've said for years that you've enjoyed working with me because the job that I have within Growing Media is I usually deal with the clients. You didn't necessarily want that job anymore.
Right.
You know, you just want to do the work.
Yeah. Yeah, because I didn't want to have to like take emails and phone calls and stuff like that. Now I do.
Yeah.
But it's because now I've grown and I understand about how to handle that better.
Yeah.
Because before, you know, whenever you first start doing something and you're not good at it, you're like, I don't like this. This is stupid.
Yeah.
But then you get better at it. You learn how to do it. And you're like, okay, I don't mind this so much because now I have an understanding and I know I've been through this enough to know like what to expect next.
Yeah. And here's a thing for you guys who act as that liaison. Remember to pass on the good comments with the bad. Mm. You know, I always make a point to forward you guys when somebody says, that's awesome. You know, I'll let the team know. Too many times I think that we just forward, make this correction, right, or this wasn't right, yeah, you know? So I think it's imperative for you to celebrate all facets of the process with your team. Just keep that in mind.
Yeah, you have to let people know they're doing a good job. Otherwise, they're not going to want to do it anymore.
Right.
And that's like, another part of building relationships.
Stinking job.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and I think sometimes you get in the minutia of like doing work over and over again. Mm-hmm. And you're like, am I even doing a good job? Or am I redoing something I've done a billion times?
Right, right.
And so you need to be reminded sometimes of like, yeah, this is exactly what we want. This is working. Keep right. Keep doing that.
It kind of goes back to what you guys were talking about earlier, where, you know, you walk into a building and you're like, somebody who hasn't been in there a lot, they're like, man, this is beautiful. This is amazing. Where you spend all your time in there, you're just like, that's normal to me.
Yeah.
So it's
so true. Gosh, there's such a deep message in that. Yeah. I've been reading this week, like people complain about their home,
right,
their job, their car. There are some people who have none of those things.
Right. What was it that said, like, I hated my shoes until I met a man who had no feet or something like that.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you don't realize what you've got until
that's right.
You know, you find out that there's something else. But what I was talking about was getting into the mundane of where you're just like, you make the same things over and over again, or you could do like a similar thing over and over again. You're like, is this even good? Mm-hmm. And you show it to somebody else that's, you know, maybe not in the industry or whatever. And they're like, I can't believe you did this. Mm-hmm. You'd be like, bro, it's like, I could do this in my sleep.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's part of it. And we're guilty of it here as well. If you find that happening to yourself, don't just sit there and die or writhe in pain. Like, speak up. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been talking a lot about different opportunities. I've been praying about different opportunities. And here it is. You know, I think I started the conversation this morning because this was the first time I'd physically been able to go in and have a conversation about this collaboration. And I said, thank you for this opportunity.
Yeah.
That's what it is,
yeah,
you know, and if more people would approach it that way, yeah, you can get nervous over the numbers and those type things, but just really make sure professionally that you're aligning so that opportunity for development and growth is present.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really helpful too to look at that kind of stuff as an opportunity instead of a burden, like right. I did whenever I was having to take client phone calls or whatever. I looked at it as a burden because I was like, I don't understand this. Mm-hmm. I don't like it. It doesn't make me feel like it makes me feel weird. So then now as I've done it more often, I'm more comfortable with it. So now mm-hmm. if I look at it as a learning opportunity of like, yeah, this is going to be uncomfortable for a while, but after 3 months, I'm going to be great at it.
Well, I'll share with you everyone's concern, I think. And this is so hard. So this is another thing for you to think about, someone leading your team. A big frustration for you both, I think, was money. I think you guys allowed people to tell you what they were going to pay you at yeah. a certain point.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you've been doing it for a while, you can say, well, I appreciate that you'd like to spend that much on this project, and perhaps we can get someone at that skill level that, you know, yeah, they're willing to work for that.
Yeah.
But when you've got guys who have been doing it for decades, spent thousands of dollars on equipment and education, and you can't let people undermine your value and what you're worth,
right.
You know, and it helps to have a front person protect that, yeah. You know, and we've been saying it, the new thing that I say is, okay, you know, we could perhaps do something for that, as long as you keep your expectations in line with your investment.
Yes.
Right.
Because everybody wants the world with a Cracker Jack budget, you know, like all of it.
Yeah. I was talking to somebody, here's a little example, and this is just me being silly, like my personal, mm-hmm. like me being silly to myself. Somebody was like, so how much would, what kind of music video would $100 get me? And I was like, well, I'll set up a cell phone on a tripod and I'll monitor it for you for half an hour. Like that's it.
Not even half an hour. Right. I would do like 15 minutes. You get two takes.
Like, but yeah, so it's, yeah, you got to have your expectations in line with your investment. With that kind of stuff too.
I would love, let's try to find that drawing. What is it?
The horse? The horse. Yeah.
Oh gosh. What is it? It's like,
so what happened was there's a story from what I understand behind it was that somebody basically asked this guy to draw them a horse, mm-hmm. and he started and he was drawing it amazing. The front of it, everything was great.
All the detail.
And then all of a sudden they were like, here's how much I'm willing to pay you. And he goes, cool. And he finished it in like a minute.
It was a stick drawing.
It was a stick drawing over the back of the horse.
Yeah.
Something ridiculous. Along those lines. Yeah.
Ridiculous.
I've actually had people laugh at me when I tell them my prices. Cause I'm like, I've spent a lot of time. I know my value.
Yeah.
So when I told them my price, they were like, what? And I'm like, I mean, I can do lower budget stuff.
Right.
You're still going to get decent quality, but you're not going to get all the little bells and whistles.
Yeah.
And stuff.
You can have video production, or you can have video production complete with animation, you know, graphic design, right. branding, logos, you know, it just, what are you asking for? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So there are many tiers that you can work on.
Sure.
Whereas like if you know, you don't have the budget for a $10,000 video, maybe you have a budget for an $800-$900 video,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to be decent. It's going to be good. It's going to be quality, but it's not going to be the $10,000.
I don't think it's going to be done by Grimey. No, just see. And here's part of the reason why. When you call, you know, Growing Media, we've got several crews.
Yeah.
We're prepared to work on bigger productions, but you got to pay for all those members,
yeah,
you know,
right.
and like we've talked about before, and this is with any industry, you know, whatever you're in, not only are you paying for the service that we provide, but we have to have a place for you to come to meet with us.
Mm-hmm.
We have to pay for the lights to be on. You know, again, we have to buy the equipment. We have to pay for the software upgrades. We have to pay to house your website. We have to pay for storage. The list goes on and on.
Yeah.
And I think if people would just stop and think about that for a moment, it all makes sense.
For sure.
It's not, we're not, now, we've all experienced price gouging.
Oh, of course.
So as long as you're not doing that and you know who you are, if you are price gouging, that is wrong.
Yeah,
if you
can't justify it. Just be honest. Yeah. Yeah. Don't try to, like, just because you find out that somebody has money.
Right.
Don't try to get more out of them. Like, you know the value of your product.
Yeah.
Offer the product for that value, regardless of who's coming to get it.
Right. We had always talked about that. It was, I can't remember how, it was years ago. Okay. The way that we looked at it, We first did some market analysis, right? We wanted to see who else in the market. They happened to be doing some things comparable, whatever. And it was really tough to nail that down, because I think we had all started thinking about a business model and the way we wanted to do it. And then we realized we were quite unique, because those people we checked out, they were known for sticker shock. They were feast or famine. You know, they were doing one job, and it was very difficult for us in the market way back when, because people had been burned.
Right.
And our philosophy was, we would much rather be on the journey with you, not have the sticker shock, have it very affordable, so we have a residual income, which allows us to work together all year long.
Right.
Not a onesie twosie.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like to live, you know,
it's
up
nice
and down.
Yeah.
And
it's nice to get like 12 medium sized checks, mm-hmm. than one large one for the whole year.
Right.
That wouldn't even equal half of the year for the other.
Right.
For the 12.
And you know, keep everybody working.
Right.
You keep everybody working, which is really, really
and
nice.
And they continue to get content. or whatever it is that they need.
Man, it's changed though. Yeah. I mean, there was a time where a 30-second for the month would cut it.
I remember when we first started, that was our main thing, was like, you just do a 30 for this client and that's it.
Yeah.
Now it's like, we need to make 17 reels this week.
Yeah. Oh man. And you know what? It's only increasing the need.
I think I want to say that this is your fault because you always used to say we got to feed the beast.
Feed the beast.
You speak it into existence.
But I like to feed with quantity over quality.
And now there's
not quantity. Wait, quality. What did I? I just got it wrong.
Yeah.
We like to do what?
Quality over quantity.
Thank you. See, I'm overworked and underpaid.
There's so many new, like there's so many different platforms that you need to upload to.
Oh yeah,
we're getting way away from relationships, but
not really. That's how we, you know.
But yeah, so you have to like. Not only do you have to like make the content, but it's got to be a lot of times platform specific.
Because
if you're going to upload to TikTok, it's not going to resonate the same as it is on Instagram or YouTube and all that kind of stuff. So now you're looking at multiple pieces of content for one client, whereas you used to do just 130.
Gosh, that's frustrating.
And you would put it on TV, and that was it.
Oh, because now they'll always come back and go vertical, horizontal. I go, how about both?
Right.
And then I always go, no.
No, they hate it. Yeah, no doubt.
But have you seen those people like setting up the different like mechanisms on their camera mounts or whatever? So they have one camera that's horizontal, one that's vertical.
Smart.
And a GoPro and a 360. And it's like.
Smart.
Now you got a drone following you everywhere you go. Because you got to have BTS of all the stuff that you're shooting.
It's insane. What's wrong with you people?
Everybody wants content, man.
Yeah, that is true. Content is king. That means we'll still work.
Yeah.
We'll be working.
Yeah.
What do you have?
That's just, I mean, content builds relationships.
It really does. It just builds.
It builds relationships with people. And you may not have the relationship with them, but they have a relationship with you. Because they're absorbing your content.
That is an interesting, like, I don't even know if we want to go off into this tangent, but that is an interesting, like, dynamic that a lot of people have with their audience. Is like, I don't know you, but you know me. Like, I've been walking, and I don't even, like, put that much stuff out there personally. I went to the gym, and somebody was like, Rob? And I'm like, Who are you? And he's like, I saw you on the spiel. And I'm like, why?
Say, what? Thank you for watching.
Yeah, no, it was great. But I was like, it's crazy that I got recognized out somewhere with somebody. I had no idea who
what
it was.
Dude, you have completely taken over the BTS. What do you mean you're surprised? You're like, let me tell you today.
So here's the deal. I don't edit the BTS. Somebody else does that.
You're always in it. He's headlining.
But I do like it, though, the fact that I get that FaceTime.
He likes it.
That is pretty nice. I like being the center of attention.
I know you do. I know.
What can I say?
All right. What else? Is there anything else that we can share with our lovely audience before we break away?
Just be kind to each other. Like, I know this isn't... I don't know why I'm getting into this. I see so many negative comments of people being like, why you need to do this, you need to do that on different social media posts. It's like, stop judging people and just be kind. Build relationships and be kind with each other.
And get out my business. It ain't none your business.
Right. So many people, they judge you based on a 12-second clip. And it's like, no.
You should not be judging.
Well,
you'll be judged far greater.
Yeah, right. So there is that. But also, like, 12 seconds, you can't judge somebody off of that. So you leave your comments alone. And I think part of the reason why I'm saying that is because I just posted a video of me walking around the building where I went under the building.
It was very scary. It made us look like we lived in or worked in a trap house.
Well, no, that
was underneath.
That was way underneath.
Yeah.
So I put that video out, right? And somebody commented that I was breathing heavily, like at the beginning of the video. And I'm like,
yeah, have you walked those stairs?
Well, it's a lot. But like, the video was starting. So I hadn't walked anything yet.
Okay.
Little do you know, I already walked up and down three flights of stairs twice.
Yeah.
So I didn't comment to that on the guy, but I was like,
let it go.
I was like, you don't know what happened before the video started.
Let
I could have been
go.
Running from a monster.
Yeah.
Probably was.
Down under the building.
Yes.
And now I'm going back down there again because I'm brave.
Can you believe you went down there? Like, yeah,
I've been down there.
I had to turn the power back on to my office because it went off because I had two heaters going because I was frozen.
He blew the thingy.
I blew the breaker.
Yeah. So that's what you get.
I was cold. I was so cold.
That's what you get.
It was like 4 degrees outside.
Oh, we have had some cold, cold weather. But we are warm.
Single digits.
We're not really warm. This is the largest podcast studio in existence, so it's very hard to heat this.
In existence.
It's hard.
It is hard to heat it.
I know.
I've been cold in here.
Cannot believe we're leaving.
I can.
The largest.
Praise the Lord.
What?
Yeah. I'm so done with this place.
You know what? I kind of am too. It's a very cool place, really filled with character. We're out. We're going somewhere where Angie can shop and drink and
we're going to build relationships and some new character elsewhere.
Yes. Come find us. We can help you. Everybody has a story.
Okay, bye.
Let's tell yours.
Yeah.
So lame. All right, bye.
I'm glad I wasn't part of that.